Hello, brothers and sisters. Welcome to Food for the Journey. I'm very, very glad to be with you because we've gone through some hard times, haven't we, in this last year? Very, very difficult times. And one of the things that we should draw out of that is, how close am I to the Lord? How close am I to Him? How willing am I to follow Him, to wait upon Him? He speaks in so many ways, so many ways. You don't have to have a revelation from heaven. A thought will come into your mind, and you think, gee, I never thought of that before. Weigh it. That doesn't mean automatically do it, but weigh it. Pay attention to it. So let's take a look at the readings today. The first one is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 6, verses 8 to 15. Stephen, filled with grace and power, was working great wonders and signs among the people. Certain members of the so-called synagogue of freedmen, Cyrenians and Alexandrians and people from Cilicia and Asia came forward and debated with Stephen, but they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he spoke. Then they instigated some men to say, "We have heard him speaking blasphemous words against Moses and God." They stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, accosted him, seized him, and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They presented false witnesses who testified, "This man never stopped saying things against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him claim that this Jesus, the Nazarene, will destroy this place and change the customs that Moses handed down to us." All those who sat in the Sanhedrin looked intently at him and saw that his face was the face of an angel. Here's Stephen being persecuted for the Lord. Think of that. Really willing. How hard it must be. How hard it can be. And yet, it leads to glory. When you're in conversations, defend the Lord. If something comes up about Scripture, something like that, always support what is true and right. And that's why I want to ask you, please, if you can, read the Scriptures for the day. The ones I'm speaking about. Read them ahead of time if you can. If not, God will do it another way. But if you can, read through it beforehand. Then what we want to do, in a sense, is mine the word. Dig into it. What does it mean? What is God telling us? So let's take a look at Psalm 119 right now that says, "Blessed are they who follow the law of the Lord. Though princes meet and talk against me, your servant meditates on your statutes. Yes, your decrees are my delight. They are my counselors. I declared my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous deeds. Remove from me the way of falsehood, and favor me with your law. The way of truth I have chosen. I have set your ordinances before me." Can we say that about ourselves? Are we following the Lord? Are we listening to his word? Are we obedient to the commandments? Please, brothers and sisters, his word is living. I've said this to you before, but let me just emphasize it here. His word is living. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It can separate the bone from the marrow. Brothers and sisters, his word changed my life. When I was just a young teenager, in reading, I certainly had gone to Mass. I certainly had done all that we do as Catholics. But suddenly the word itself became alive in me. in a way that I never expected. And I treasured his word from there on. And I want to encourage you, open your hearts and make his word part of your foundation. Please, brothers and sisters, one does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Think of that. One does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. And the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 22 to 29. After Jesus had fed the 5,000 men, his disciples saw him walking on the sea. The next day, the crowd that remained across the sea saw that there had been only one boat there and that Jesus had not gone along with his disciples in the boat, but only his disciples had left. Other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they had eaten the bread. And when the Lord gave thanks, when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And when they found him across the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" And Jesus answered them and said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled." They're looking for food, and he provides the food at times. But he says here, "Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life." This is the food right here in the scriptures. This is the food, sacrament of the Eucharist. That's where your food comes from. Draw near to him. Draw very, very near to him. "Do not work," says the scripture, "for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father, God, has set his seal." So they said to him, "What can we do to accomplish the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent." He's speaking of himself here, that they believe that God came and dwelt in our midst, that he gave us his word, and it's his word that brings life and light to us. Brothers and sisters, the word changed my life. And changes my life, honestly, every day. I may have read something many times before, but it seems like I see something new. Not always, not every time, but so often. Brothers and sisters, I want to urge you, make reading the scripture, even to do the readings of the day, if that's all you have time for. But read them every day. It's food for the soul. We don't just need food for the body, though we certainly need that. But how much more do we need food for our souls? Brothers and sisters, treasure the Bible. Treasure the Word of God. And I hope that I can be of some help to you in understanding it. I'm not a scholar in Scripture, but I think I can help you in some ways by listening to this program. But what I want is that you become alive with the word. You don't just close your Bible and say, "Oh yeah, that was good," and then go away for another day. That's not what this is about. What God wants to do through his word is to conform us to him. And then when we see him face to face, we're not strangers. We're not afraid. We can come before him with awe, yes. But, oh, brothers and sisters, if you live for him, you will die for him. Please, please hear his word, because that word is living and it can change your life. Our whole activity in heaven will consist of Amen and Alleluia. This is written by Saint Augustine. What do you say, brothers and sisters? I can see that you hear and you're delighted, but don't let yourselves again be depressed by the flesh-bound thought that if any of you were to stand and say Amen and Alleluia all day long, you would droop with fatigue and boredom, and you will drop off to sleep in the middle of your words and long to keep quiet. And for that reason, you might suppose it is a life you can well do without, not at all desirable, and might say to yourselves, Amen and Alleluia, we're going to say that forever and ever. Who will be able to endure it? So I will tell you, if I can, as best I can, it isn't in fleeting sounds that we shall be saying Amen and Alleluia, but with the affection of the mind and the heart. After all, what does Amen mean, and what does Alleluia? Amen means it's true. Alleluia means praise God. When we see face to face what we now see through a mirror in a riddle, we shall then say with quite a different and inexpressibly different feeling of love, it's true. And when we say this, we shall, of course, be saying Amen, but with a kind of never-satisfied satisfaction, because there will be nothing lacking, you see. That's why complete satisfaction. But because what is not lacking will always be giving delight, that's why, if one can so put it, it will be an unsatisfied satisfaction. So it will be until we see Him. So just as you will be insatiably satisfied with the truth, so you will be saying with insatiable truth, Amen, Amen. But now, who can possibly say what it is like, what eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor has it come into the heart of man? And so, because we shall see the truth with perpetual delight and gaze upon it with the most evident certainty, we shall be fired with love of this truth, and so we shall also praise Him with the same kind of voice and say, Alleluia. All the citizens of that city, you see, will be urging each other to equal heights of praise with the most ardent charity toward one another and toward God. And so they will be saying, Alleluia, because they will be saying, Amen. So be it. Brothers and sisters, this is Augustine, one of the most important theologians in the history of the church. Draw near to the Lord. Let His word really feed you. And you say, well, I can't understand it. Read it slowly. There are a lot of books out there that help you to understand the full meaning of Scripture. But what I want to say to you is now, take the heart. Take the heart of His word, which is God's love for you. He wants to treat you, to love you, to lead you safely home to Him, where you will be forever. May God abundantly bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.